To a study from the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17. The reason that I want to share these verses with you is because as the Bible let us know in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, I'm reading from New King James, in case you want. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So we have this warning from the word of the Lord. That means that we have to be alert. That means that we live at war, okay? That's why it's so important to know how to face the enemies, because we want to face enemies in our lives. And we will learn through David how we can be victorious facing our enemies, first facing our giants in life. So, let's read verse 30. Then he turned around, talking about David, from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they report them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are Jude, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the army of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, I'm a dog that you come to me with the sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth might know that you there, might know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. So this is a story, David and Goliath. I believe that all of us know that story. Even the world know that story. It's being quoted so many times in sports, in everything, right? The little guy defeating the big guy. So it's very common for us, and we know it so well. Maybe that's why we skip some very important things in these verses that hopefully we'll be able to go through today. But to get some context, this is David. This is David, the youngest of eight brothers, and he was chosen by God to be the next king, right? And for 40 days, the Israelites are being listening to this giant trying to intimidate them, and he's doing a great job so far. They're shaking, they're trembling, they're very afraid. Now this young little kid, a teenager maybe, shows, and he questions, what is going on? What is happening? Why everybody is so scared? And the great thing about these verses is this is a true story. That was a kid named David facing a giant named Goliath. So it is very important for us to fully understand how David, this little kid, was able to defeat this giant. Because that might be the way that many of us feel when we face in a situation. We might feel lonely, desperate, small, if we compare ourselves with that big trouble that we're facing. And I don't know you, but I really want to know how to win this battle. How to win this battle. We already know, as I mentioned before, we know this story. The world knows this story. We already know how that ends. We know that he goes and beat Goliath. But that's not enough. At least it's not enough for me. It's not enough information. I want to know how he was able to do so. That way I can do the same when I'm facing a trouble. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father God, to give you thanks, Father, for this beautiful opportunity, Father God, to receive this word from you, Father God. Please, I'm begging you to use me, Father God. We know, Father God, that you can use a mule, if needed, to communicate your word, Father God. So please, use me. We want to hear from you and from you only, Father God. We want to glorify your name, Father God, in every one of our battles, Father God, those battles that we're going to face, Father God, we're going to fight, Father God. Please be present in this teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, as we used to, we're going to go verse by verse through this story. That way, nothing going to escape from our attention. So, verse 30. Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first one did. But from who? From who he's he's avoiding having this conflict, this confrontation. Well, I did that in purpose. That way we will remember this very, very important verse. We have to go back and check verse 28. Now, Eliab, his older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "What did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." One thing that we have to understand that is like when we truly following the Lord, we will face many battles. And this is one of the toughest battles that David will face, because he's against his brother. And so don't be in surprise if you face that kind of battles with your relatives, with the people that you love, with your friends, right? You have to be prepared. But the most important thing in this verse is like David avoid conflict. David didn't try to explain himself. He didn't try to make a point or let his brother know that he's right, that he just want to know what is going on, that he already took care of the sheep. Somebody else is taking care of those sheep. So his brother is questioning his heart, and he's telling David, in other versions, we can read it exactly that way, "I know your heart." You might hear that from some people or say that to some people, "I know your heart." And that's completely wrong. Because only the Lord knows our heart. Only the ones that create us knows our heart. And we have this fleshy tendency to defend ourselves when we attack. And we just miss some verse from the Bible that remind us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. David knew that. And that's key for us to conquer our battles, to have victory. He knew that his battle wasn't against his brother. He was being attacked by his brother. He was questioning for his brother. Actually, he was questioning David's life completely. He was a shepherd, and he questioned, "Where you leave the sheep?" So he's telling David, "You're worthless. You just came here because you're curious. I know your heart, your crooked heart. You didn't care about the sheep. Why you're here?" So David didn't waste time trying to explain his brother. He just avoided confrontation because he knew better. He had this deeper relationship with the Lord. He had this deep connection with the Lord. And the good news for us, that's the same kind of relationship that the Lord wants us to have with him. This deeper relationship. That way we can see the things the way that the Lord sees the things. And that will be key moving forward. So, remember, David, so already suffering this attack, which is very important attack, which will prepare him to be obedient and to be humble. Obedient because he's just following his father's instructions. He was instructed by his father to go to the battlefield. And even more amazing, he's being struck by his father to go to the battlefield to take care of his brothers. Which one of them is this one that is attacking him. So the first big battle, at least in my eyes, that David faced is against his own flesh. Not his brother, which is his flesh and blood, with his own flesh. David had to be able to defeat his own flesh, being humble and obedient, willing to serve. His father called him and asked him to go to the battlefield and take care of his brother. And after this attack, David, keep it calm, keep humble, okay? Even knowing, because he knows that he will be the king of Israel. How he knows that? Because that was prophesied. Samuel already chose him. Well, the Lord used Samuel to declare that to David. And guess who was there when that happened? David's brothers and his father. So they knew. They knew that. As many around us, they might know about our Lord. They might know about our faith. That ain't going to stop them to question our heart, our intentions. And the great lesson that we have so far from David is like, he didn't care about it. Because he knew that he had a bigger, more important battle waiting for him. Okay? So, don't waste your time fighting against flesh and blood. We have a bigger battle in front of us. Verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. So the king himself want to know, who is this guy? Why? Because when we serve the Lord, sooner or later, we wanna have the world's attention. Sooner or later, they will notice. So that means if the people around you don't question your attitude, the way that you behave, maybe and just maybe, is because we're not serving the Lord the way that we're supposed to. Verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, talking about Goliath, the Philistine champion. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. What? This little kid is not afraid at all. Speak directly to the king. But the most important thing here is David's heart. Through this verse, we can tell where David's heart is. His concern about his brothers. Let's read it again, if that escaped from us. Let no man's heart fail. He's concerned about his brothers, for those soldiers in the battlefield. And more important, he's concerned about his brother that just insulted him two verses ago. That's David's heart. So how wrong was his brother to try to judge him? And such a great way to see how God is the only one to know that knows people's heart. Remember, he was chosen. 7 other brothers, and every single one of them, Samuel, the prophet of the Lord, very important that, the prophet of the Lord, thought that they were the right ones. Every single time that one of those brothers were presented, he thought, like, oh, this one. Yeah, this one. This one looks like future king. And he was wrong. Even Samuel, that was a prophet of the Lord, he was wrong. Because only God knows our heart. Only the Lord knows our intentions. Verse 32. Then David, back again. This verse, like, David showed no fear. This teenager shows no fear. These guys are being there in the battlefield for 40 days, listening to the Philistines' champion. And none of them react to the attack. None of them. None of them. And this guy did. And remember, this Philistine say, send me a man. Whoever want to fight with me. That was directed especially to Saul, the tallest man in Israel at the time. And the king. But none of them dare to face this giant. Why David did that? Through that deep connection to the Lord. Because he knew something that we already know as well, but we tend to forget. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Then you know that David had the Spirit of God. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's the spirit that David is showing. Love to his brothers. Sound mind. He's the only one that is completely calm. And he's the only one that showed power. He had no fear. And that happened when you truly know the Lord. When you truly know the Lord, you know that you don't need to be afraid. And they will show us how is that. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are Jude, and he a man of war from his youth. Verse 33 is key for our battles. Because people around us will question our faith. They will question our attitude. Because they don't understand. The world don't understand. Because they don't have our faith. Because their trust is not in God and his power. That's key. That's very important. We have to be prepared. Especially because Saul is not his enemy right now. Actually, Saul needs somebody to defeat the giant. But he still don't believe, don't understand how this kid will be able to fight this giant. I mean, I guess that he's questioning, how is possible that this kid is not afraid? I'm way taller than this kid. I'm being trained. I have the army to support me. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I'm being here 40 days, paralyzed. And I don't want to do it. And that's very important for us. Because remember, we're talking about God's people. And we are God's people. We are God's people. So we will see many times, sadly many times, God's people paralyzed in fear. It's not like they're not God's people. It's like they don't know the Lord the way David knows the Lord. It's not like they don't worship. They don't gather together. They just don't have that relationship with the Lord, that special, deep relationship with the Lord. So sadly, we will see many brothers and sisters paralyzed in fear. And as we will see, David, he's not denying the facts. He's not in a positive thinking way, like just closing his eyes and waiting for the best to happen. It's not positive thinking. He's not waiting for luck. And as a Christian, we don't believe in luck. We know that he have a plan. And we trust him. And David trusts him with all his heart. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready for that battle. He's been there for 5 minutes. And he's ready for the battle. And David, verse 34, he want to do something that some of us that might have a deeper relationship with the Lord forget about. And he's giving the testimony to the people that he's afraid, that they're trembling and shaking. David tried to do that. David tried to do that to Saul. That's great. Let's read it. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, just keep reading, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. So he tried to explain, because I guess he noticed that by the way that Saul is looking at him, like, this guy is crazy. He's going to die. How he there? David might feel that. And he trying to explain to the king, don't get it wrong, king. I faced a lion and a bear before, and I was able to defeat them. But I guess that didn't work. And he trying to explain better. And actually, he want to give glory to the Lord. And we can see it in verse 36. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this, in circumcised Philistine, will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. So he is giving the king an insight of what is really happening. Because these 40 days, the king didn't notice because he was blind. He didn't have this deep relationship with the Lord. He didn't notice something. That this Philistine is uncircumcised. What that means? Means that this giant could be tall, strong, big. But he's not the chosen one. He's not part of God's people. We don't need to be afraid of him. He don't have God covering his back. So he trying to explain that to the king. And more. He tried to explain to the king that what this guy, this giant, did was not just against them, the people of God, was against God himself. So basically, he's letting the king know, this guy is in trouble. He's insulting our God. It is terrible that when you're afraid, your memory disappears. You don't remember things. Because Saul forget completely. He didn't remember about the Red Sea, about all the wonderful things that the Lord did for them in the past. But David have a good memory. He remember about the lion, about the bear. So what about us? We have to remember the times that the Lord was there helping us. We have to remember when we cry out and he was the one fighting our battles. Small battles, big battles, but he was there. He was answering our prayers. We tend to forget that. Then when the next giant is in our path, we shake and tremble. And I guess that Saul wasn't that smart because he still don't get it. He still don't get it. And David have to explain more. Maybe pull some crayons and draw something for Saul. Saul, you're missing it. But some of us were laughing, but we might need the crayons sometimes. We might need somebody to pull out crayons and draw that thing for us. And let's see how David explained that to him. Moreover, David say, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. I don't think that we hear it. At least not the way that I want you to hear it. Because this is David pouring his heart to King Saul. Like, open your eyes, dude. Open your eyes. And he's crying out to us today, asking us to open our eyes. Moreover, David say, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. So David lets all know that wasn't because I was strong, that wasn't because I was smart, that wasn't because I was lucky. The lion was old, the bear was hurt. No. That was because the Lord. And we know that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So he trusts him. He knew the same Lord will be there fighting his battle as he did before. So as the Lord did before in our lives, he's willing, he's longing to do it again in our lives. So, verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor. Oops. Thank you. Now, oh, thirsty. Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Many scholarship look at this passage different ways. The way that I see this is David is very respectful with Saul. Saul is the king, and he showed respect. But the thing that David wanna say to Saul, in my eyes, right, is like, this don't fit me. You're taller and bigger. This armor that you're trying to give me ain't gonna fit. Right? Saul was way taller than the rest of the Israelites, so we assume that he was way bigger than David. But more important, that armor smelled like fear. That's the armor that Saul has been using the last 40 days. So why I want to use it? That thing smells like fear. I don't want to use it. I never use it. I don't want to use it. And why that is important for us? Because the world, people around us, they might want us to use their tools. They might want us to act like the way that they've been acting in order to get victory. And good news is, we know from the word of the Lord, that didn't work for them. That didn't work now. Didn't work for them. That armor, shiny armor, bronze, didn't work for Saul, right? He was shaking and trembling for 40 days. So we don't need that. We don't need what the world offers to give us victory. We don't need to be we don't need to be as the world. And many of you might know what exactly I refer when people come with ideas, don't pay taxes because that way you have more money. Don't clock on time because they enslave you. You deserve better. Right? Those schemes, those things that they've been doing, but that never give them victory. Why we gonna use it? If our faith is in the Lord, not in that armor. And we're gonna learn something from David. Verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Okay. Why is that? Why is that important? I don't see any of my Christian brothers with stones or slingshots. Right? But these verses speak to every single one of us, letting us know that the Lord already provide us with what we need for the battle. We already have it. We already have it. And your weapons, what you need for the battle, might not be as the one as that the Lord provide for me. So don't check on my weapons, because your weapons might be different. Most likely they're different. But serve the same purpose. To defeat those giants. To win those battles in our life. We already have what we need. Calvary Chapel, we already have what we need to face those giants. It's in us. Okay? God already equipped Dave with what he needs. Please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And we will understand that we already have it. 1 Corinthians Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The Spirit of God dwells in every one of us. You don't need more than that. Cannot be sweeter than that. Cannot be better than that. Verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the men who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a Jude, ruddy and good looking. So, when we face an enemy, when we face a battle, we might think like, oh, I have faith, I'm ready for the battle, and we might expect that everything gonna resolve immediately. So no. Most of the time it's not like that. Most of the time, the enemy gonna despise us, go underestimate us, and that's okay. Why? Because our true power is not in our strength, in our wisdom. It's not what is in plain sight. It's not. Don't be fooled. Our power is in our God. Our power is in our God. So the Philistine said to David, verse 43, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. We know that those gods don't have any power, right? We know that. We've been hearing that. Moloch, all those, Asherah, Astarte, Baal, they don't have any power, right? So we understand that easily, when it's referring to the word of the Lord. But when we are attacked, when we are cursed, in the name of those gods that the world have now, 2021, we get afraid. The money is a god for that people. It is. Those titles, that education, that position, that status, those gods, they many times gonna insult us and treat us with those gods. Gods that don't have any power against our God, the true living God. Don't be fooled by that people. Don't be fooled by the enemy. Verse 44. And the Philistines say to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. The enemy screamed to us, treat us with the consequences. Because when we go into a battle, will be consequences. If we lose, most of the time, that's why it's scary. That's why the Israelites, they were shaking and trembling. Because will be consequences. Did you hear it from the giant? If you lose, you're going to be our slaves and will serve us. Right? So we have to be prepared to hear and not be afraid. And that's what David does in verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me. And this is amazing, because this shows us that David wasn't in the positive thing wave, that he was like, no, man, everything will be fine, don't worry. He will go away. He get tired and depart. It's not that big. No. David wasn't blind. He wasn't in a positive thing state. He wasn't one with the light or something like that. He was trusting the Lord. He knew. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So David knew that Goliath was a giant. He knew, he saw all the things that the other saw, that the javelin weighed 12 something pounds, that the giant was more than 9 feet tall, that the shield that he have weighed more than 100 something pounds. He know that. He wasn't an ignorant about that. But he knew something else, that the Israelites forgot about it. That he was threatening the Lord himself. When he was fighting against God's people, he was trying to fight God. That was his biggest mistake. That fight was against God. So what does say to me in 2021? It's the same. Our Lord don't change. So whenever we face a trouble, whenever we face an enemy, whenever we face a situation, whenever we face a giant in our life, that giant have to fight with our God. He have to fight with God Almighty, the one that created heaven and earth, the one that created us. So what we say to that enemy? Good luck. Good luck fighting with God Almighty. David don't waste time insulting the Philistine. He knows better. Sometimes we waste so much time. So much time. He's effective. He just go right to the point. And this is product of the... Let's read it, 46. this day, and he prophesied, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This verse is so rich, we can make some studies just with this verse. He is prophesying something that he already knows. And we need to know. We are victorious in Christ. We are victorious in Christ. Yes, we will fight, but we are already victorious in his name. And David knew that. He knew that he was victorious already. And more important, right, is this part of the prophecy. This part of the prophecy, I guess, like whoever was listening, so all the Israelites, his brother included, all the Philistines, they were like, what he means? What he means? This kid loses completely. Because he prophesied and he said, I will strike you, that's okay, and take your head from you. What? Last time we checked, he have slingshot and five rocks, five stones. So, but David wasn't worried about that. He was very confident, actually, because he trusts the Lord with all his heart. He trusts the Lord when the Lord promised him victory. And that was why he was able to prophesize. He didn't care how he going to do it, but he knew that he going to do it. He going to take that head of that giant. That will give you, David, a head of his people. So it's very important for us. Don't forget that. Don't question how your victory will come. Just trust in the Lord, and he will deliver you as he delivered David from this giant. That's faith. That's faith, and that's just the fruit of this deep relationship with the Lord. No religion. Remember, those soldiers, they had that, and they were shaking, trembling. David had this deep relationship with the Lord. And very important for us, we know where David's heart was. Now we know some way David's heart, because he's showing us verse after verse where his heart is in this battle. And it is important because that's the place that our heart have to be in our next battle. Let's read it. Let's read it. That might escape from some of us. What was the purpose of all this? Remember, he have a promise from the king. A wife, money, free taxes. For those that pay taxes in Massachusetts, that's tempting. Free taxes. Okay? That wasn't his objective. That was far from being his primary objective. And he will show us his objective. And that have to be, and I beg to you, make that your primary objective in your next fight, in your next battle, and you will be victorious. Let's read it. Verse 46. that all the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. That was his objective all this time. All this time. Show the world through your victories, through your battles, through your attitude, that you serve a living God. That have to be. I cannot make enough emphasis. That have to be your objective. Bring glory to his name in your victory. In that way, he will act, he will fight your battles, and he will give you that precious victory that many are being dreaming with, but they're shaking, waiting for something to happen. We have him. We have what we need. Don't forget that. We have already what we need. We have his spirit inside of us. If we want to bring glory to his name, he will give us victory. God bless you, Calvary Chapel.